Good morning, all. Good morning to all of you that are present and those that are listening and watching us online through the avenues of technology. Well, that is a blessing. Let me back up just a little bit. Visitors, we are proud that you are here as well, and we would like to visit with you after the services. So if you can, stick around and let us visit with you and get to meet you and greet you as you are here, and we hope you come back at another time. So now we would like to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Brother Kellum.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him
Be seated, please. Our next hymn will be 227, On Zion's Glorious Summit, and it will be immediately followed by 186, Christ, We Do All Adore Thee. On Zion's Glorious Summit, and then 186, Christ, We Do All Adore Thee.
On Zion's glorious summit stood our new West Coast redeemed by blood. Lay him where King Prince Trains divine. I heard the song and stood to join. I heard the song and stood to join.
to our Father in prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day and this opportunity and for the physical ability to assemble ourselves here this morning and worship thee and sing praises to thee and study from thy word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that all the things that were studied and said in the classes this morning were acceptable to thee. We pray, Heavenly Father, as Tim comes up, the things that he's prepared are in accordance with thy will, and that they will be acceptable and taken into our hearts, but more importantly, taken into our everyday lives, that we can influence those that are around us and those that we come in contact with. Heavenly Father, we know there are those this morning that have physical ailments and physical conditions that prevent them from being here, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you be with them and be with those that are taking care of them and watching over them, and pray that you bless them with the health that they desire, if it be your will. Heavenly Father, we know that there are those here that are hurting this morning for different reasons, for loss of loved ones, for things that are going on in their lives that they feel like they have no control over. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you be with them and comfort them as they study upon thy word. Heavenly Father, be with us the remainder of the service and be with us the remainder of this day and bring us back tonight. Watch over us and guide us and keep us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If you are using the hymnal, our invitation hymn this morning will be 922, Jesus Paid It All. And then before the scripture reading and the lesson, we will sing number 287, There Is a Redeemer.
Right, this is a good time to have those children be dismissed to the children's training class. That's just out the doors and back to the right. see some good movement there, and children going to learn the very important lesson, and time to spend with God's message and the special way that it's delivered to each and every one of them. For our scripture today in this particular sermon, Minister Tim Hall has chosen 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Give me a moment to turn there. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth.
I can't speak for anybody but myself, and I know I can't speak for you individually, but I wonder why you're here this morning. Judging from the songs that we sang, we're here to lift up Jesus Christ. I hope that is your purpose as well. And if you listen to the words of the songs, he is worthy of such great honor, such great adoration, and that's why we've come together, to honor him, to honor his Father, God, and to encourage one another. And those things are so important. God calls us to come together on the Lord's Day. He tells us to follow the lead of our shepherds, our elders, and come again when they have decided it is best for us to come again. And so we're glad that you're here this morning. Hope that you'll again be with us this evening as well. At 6 o'clock, we'll meet again to worship God. We'll do it inside tonight, by the way. But we want you to come and be with us every time the doors are open, because there's always good lessons to be learned from the Word of God. There's always plenty of worship to offer God and His Son Jesus, and we're so glad you're with us. If you're visiting with us today, and I know I've already met some visitors I had not met before today, we're really glad that you've come our way. Really, we are. And I urge all of our members to look around and see somebody that you don't know, go up to them after we've dismissed and welcome them. And just know that you are welcome here. And we want you to come back and join us anytime you can. If you're from this area, think about making this your church home. If you're from another area, well, move here. Make this your church home. We'd like that a lot. But we are so glad that you are here today. And also, all of you that are joining us online, whether you're watching or listening, we're glad that you have come to join us and hope that you'll come back and join us anytime you can. Get your Bible out. Let's get into the Word of God now, and we'll learn some things again from His Word that will be so important. And I hope you've got your Bible ready to follow along with me. And by the way, before you leave, give somebody a smile. We need that. Everybody needs a smile, so let's be sure to do that. Several years ago, a friend invited me to go with him on a ride in his small airplane. It wasn't this particular plane, but it was one very much like it. And I'd never been up in a small plane before, and so I was a little bit nervous about it, not terribly, but a little bit. But before we got in the air, he took out a laminated checklist. And he took about 5 minutes and went down the checklist and made sure that all of the things were the way they should be. He checked the prop, he checked the things on the wing that wiggle up and down that make it go up and I don't know the terminology, some of you do. But he went through it very closely, and that put me to rest. I mean, I felt very comfortable after that, because he was going the extra mile to make sure that everything was right. In other words, that was his first priority, was making sure everything was safe. And until I know that, he said, We're not going anywhere. Well, that idea is important in a lot of areas in life, putting first things first. You heard me talk last Sunday night about Stephen Covey, author of a book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. His third habit in that book is put first things first. Put first things first, and that simply means if it is important, make sure you get to it. And we could all say, well, yeah, that's right, but how easily we are distracted. We are easily distracted by things in this world. I mean, things that excite us, things that give us pleasure, things that entertain us. And as we're going after those things, we forget we've not done what is most important. In fact, he begins that chapter with a quote by the German writer von Goethe. And he says, things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least. Can we say we've mastered that? Can we say that we've done the most important things and now we've got a little time left over and now we can sit down and relax and just enjoy this or that, which really doesn't matter that much? Well, the reason I bring these things up is because 2024 is an election year. Has anybody heard that yet? It is a big election year. It is a year in which we elect a president for another 4 years. And the candidates before us, both of them have served in office. They're not officially the candidates yet, but I think we all know they will be. And there's been a lot of back and forth, a lot of it. And there's going to be a lot more as the year goes on. As Christians, we're like a lot of other people. We get caught up in it. We get caught up in the conversation. We get caught up in the back and forth. And before long, we're shouting along with all the rest. And I suggest right now is a good time for us to step back for a minute and remember God's counsel for an election year. Now, you won't find it worded that way in the Bible. But the idea is there are things that are just so important at any time in our lives, and especially during times of strife and contention. These are things that Christians need to remember. They're all first things according to the Word of God. So let's talk about those three first things that I have found in the Word of God, and maybe you can add to that list and share those with me later. But let's begin by talking about this. Our first allegiance is to the Lord. Our first allegiance is to the Lord. Now, patriotism is a good thing, usually. Patriotism means that I love my country. I'm thankful that I was born here and that I now reside here. Some of you were not born here, but now you are a citizen, or maybe you plan to be a citizen, and you share those same patriotic feelings. I'm not embarrassed about putting my hand over my heart when I say the Pledge of Allegiance or stand during the national anthem. I'm not embarrassed by that, and I don't think that's anything wrong. My father fought in World War II, and I'm proud to say that he did. And I'm happy to say to any of you that have served in the military, thank you for your service. I love this country. But that said, my first allegiance is to the Lord. Now, usually there's not any conflict in that. In fact, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, we are to accept the fact that we are under governing authorities. Listen to what Paul says, Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. He said, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. So Paul says a Christian's obligation is to be subject to governing authorities. Now, does that mean that everyone who is in a position of governing is doing what is right? Absolutely not. At the time of the writing of the New Testament, we have some emperors in Rome, and some of them are very, very ungodly. Probably all of them were ungodly. But some of them were extremely ungodly and launched persecution against Christians. And yet Paul makes no exceptions here. He says we are to submit because God has put in place the framework of government. No, he has not put in place everyone who governs. He does not condone everyone who governs. But we as Christians are to be subject to those governing authorities. And again, as we have said, usually that doesn't put us in any conflict, but there are times that it will. Go with me to Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. And here we have the apostles standing before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was that governing body. They were kind of like the Supreme Court of the day for the Jewish people. They themselves were subject to the Roman emperor, but they had control over the lives of many of the Jews. And so here were the apostles, and what was it these men were telling the apostles? Never again preach the name of Jesus Christ. Well, what are they going to do? Are they going to be subject to that? Are they going to say, you're right, you're in power, we have to obey you? No, that's not what they say. You know what they say, Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. And so in that case, where there was a human ordinance, never again preach Jesus, they say, we can't do that. Our first allegiance is to the Lord. We're going to follow him and do what he says. Now, in the other things in which there is no conflict between what you're telling us and what the Bible tells us, we're okay with that. But when it comes down to something you tell us that we cannot obey because God has told us otherwise, our first allegiance is to the Lord. Paul made a statement in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 that should be on all of our minds, whether it be during an election year or whenever. But he said very simply in Philippians 3 and verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? It means that you and I, if you are a Christian as I am, we are dual citizens. We have dual citizenship. My first citizenship is in heaven because that's where my ultimate Lord is. And then I have this citizenship on earth in a land called the United States of America, for which I'm very thankful. And as long as there's no conflict between what the U.S. tells me to do and what the Lord tells me to do, I'm okay. But if the time comes, and there are indications that time may come, when the law says you cannot do this, you cannot do that, then I'm going to have to say, my first allegiance is to the Lord. That is most important of all. Some of you know that I have a weekly Bible study with Christians in Russia by means of televideo. And in all the time we've done that, we've done it for several years now, we never discuss politics. I mean, that's just not our purpose in gathering because that's really trivial in the big scheme of things. I mean, number one, we could talk about, are they eavesdropping on their subjects? And that could very well be in Russia. It may be that if we were to talk about government or politics, that would cause problems for my friends there. But the big reason is it really doesn't matter because we're Christians and our ultimate authority, our first allegiance is to the Lord. And that's something we all need to keep in mind as we're coming into this time of electing a new president or re-electing a president, as the case will be. That's most important in the grand scheme of things. Whoever is elected president really doesn't matter in the eternal scheme of things. Our allegiance to the Lord is what matters. But let's go on and look at a second idea about God's counsel for an election year, and that is our first calling. Our first calling is to preach the good news. That is our first calling. Good news is not something we often find in the media today. Now, there are exceptions to that, and there are pockets here and there where good news is being preached. But talking about the mainstream media, you're going to find a lot of the other kind of news, the kind that is talking about backbiting, the kind that is talking about insulting one another, making judgments of one another, name-calling, and on the list goes. And you know what I'm talking about. You see it easily. And whether it be the mainstream media or social media, this is kind of the norm. Have we forgotten that our first calling is to preach the good news of Jesus Christ? That's what the Bible tells us. Let me show you that. Go to first of all, Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus is about to leave the earth and go back up into heaven. But before he goes, he gives what is called the Great Commission. And here's Mark's account of it. We'll look at Matthew's in a moment. But Mark says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Now, you know, I'm confident, the word gospel is from the Greek word euangelio, and it means good news, a good message. And there's a lot of different kinds of good news, but we're talking about the good news. Danny mentioned it this morning in his class. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talks about the gospel. It refers to the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is a requirement for all of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. And just to solidify that in our minds, look at Matthew's account. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and look with me at verses 19 and 20. Virtually the same, but a little different wording. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So Jesus is very concerned about what? Proclaiming the good news. Is that my concern? Is that your concern as a follower of Jesus Christ? We get all caught up in what's going on around us, and I want to convert other people to the way I see things politically or sports. You know, we could talk about that. I could tell you about the best basketball team on earth, but some of you are very hard-headed. Does that really matter, though, in the grand scheme of things, in the Bible's view of things? No, it's trivial. And that's also the way it will be with politics or things of that matter. Now, certainly there are biblical subjects that will be discussed during this campaign, and we need to take a clear stand when it comes to that. But we're keeping it in the context of our faith and the context of our religion. Here is what the Lord desires, and more than anything, we want to bring people to Christ, not to our political viewpoints. I want you to think about something that is said in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. Here, Paul and Barnabas, or Silas rather, have gone now to the city of Thessalonica. And in Thessalonica, there's very quickly some opposition that is aroused, and now there is a riot about to break out. And listen to what is said about the preaching of the gospel, Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. When they could not find them, a mob has gone to where they think Paul is staying. He's not there at the time. When they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." Now, was it true that Paul and Silas and the others had turned the world upside down? In a sense, yes, because they were preaching very different ideas that most of the people had never heard of before. Many of them were accepting it. It was changing their lives. That's what we need today in 2024. We need to bring people to Jesus. No matter who is elected president at the end of 2024, it will not have nearly, not even close, to the same impact as bringing people to Jesus Christ. That's where real change comes about. And that's what we've got to keep in our minds always. Now, there's no denying that there are problems in our country, in our government, There are problems. There have always been problems in our nation, in any nation that has ever existed on this earth. And some of these are serious. Some of the things that we're looking at today go very much against the counsel of God. And Christians should be good citizens. I think we need to be informed on the issues. We need to be informed on the candidates. And when we have that opportunity to cast our vote, we need to do what we can to try to get the right people into office. But more important, way more important, is that I do what I can to bring other people to Christ. Me, not just the preacher, not just the elders, not just the deacons. Every one of us have opportunities to influence others to follow Jesus Christ. So my first calling is to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Now here's one more idea, talking about God's counsel for an election year, and that is our first responsibility, is to show a difference. Our first responsibility is to show a difference. Suppose I stand up here before you today and say, I'm going to preach to you the good news, and I start ranting and I start raving, and my face gets all red and veins stick out on my neck. That may be happening anyway, and I don't realize it. But you can tell, man, this guy's upset. He is angry. He's bitter. How would that affect the way you hear what I'm saying? I can't help but think of the words of Ralph Waldo Emerson, who said 100 years or so ago, your actions speak so loudly, I cannot hear what you are saying. You know what that means, don't you? The way we behave ourselves, the way we deport ourselves. I mean, people don't want to hear what we're saying because we're ugly in our attitudes. Our language is very derisive. We're insulting to other people. We call names. And people just don't want, you say you're a Christian. If that's what a Christian is, not sure I want that. Can that happen in an election year? It can happen in any year, at any time. But can it happen especially while the stakes are high and so many people are talking about the issues? The Bible says we're to show a difference in this world. Go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and listen to what the Lord says to us through the Apostle Paul. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, remind them. And it's interesting, he begins this way. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient. And there, like we saw in Romans 13, that is what a Christian is to be. We're to be submissive and obedient as far as we can be. And then he goes on and says, and to be ready for every good work. But listen to verse 2. To speak evil of no one. To speak evil of no one. To avoid quarreling. To avoid it. To be gentle. And to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Do we see a need for that in our land today, in the world today? Am I showing a difference when I get caught up in talking about these issues? And I'm not talking about just when I'm with people in person. When I take my place on social media and express my views, am I showing that kind of behavior? Look at it again, verse 2. To speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Well, what are you saying, Paul? That's how we used to be. No more of that. You're different. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. You ever heard that before? 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're different now. We can't be the way we once were. And this applies when we're debating hotly contested issues. Think about another passage in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Here Paul again speaking says this, do all things without grumbling or disputing. I don't know anybody that grumbles, do you? Well, we may not use that word, but it's complaining, carping, whatever word you want to put in there. We're just running people down. We're not happy with the way things are going. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Why? That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. I have an opportunity to shine my light by simply having a better attitude than people around me. And it's not because I'm better than they are, it's because of whose I am. I belong to Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is the one to whom I owe all my allegiance. And if he tells me to change my attitude, to change the way I talk about people and to people, that's what I must do. I've got to show a difference in this world. And didn't Jesus say something about love in John 13, verses 34 and 35? You know he did. John 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this love, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And again, we've got to look at ourselves in that light. Is that who I am? And when I get caught up in a discussion about this or that, and especially about politics and a very hotly contested race, is that who I am? Do I show love? Do people know that I am a follower of Jesus Christ? Or do I look like just about anybody else in the world? I suggest that 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15 will help us to learn that new difference that we're to have. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, because here Paul says, the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. If you're having trouble living a different kind of life, I suggest focusing more on Jesus and looking at the sacrifice he made. And we'll have that opportunity here in just a bit to observe the Lord's Supper and really bring our minds back to that scene where he hung on the cross, agonizingly dying so that we might live. Not for ourselves, though, but live for him. The elections this year will prove to be very important. There's no doubt about that. Policies may change depending on who is elected. Everyday lives could be affected for better or for worse. And yes, we are all interested to see that the one who leads our nation is a person who has good values, is guided by righteousness. That's what we all want. And I hope we're all praying for that, just as the passage that Earl read for us earlier says, we're to pray for our kings. And such strong issues bring out visceral feelings. They come from down deep. But I suggest we again listen to the counsel of God during this election year, and let us keep first things first. Our first allegiance is to the Lord. Our first calling is to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And our first responsibility is to show the good difference that Christ makes. We can make a difference. Maybe not so much with my one vote out of the millions that will be cast, but with one person that I'm very close to, who then is close to somebody else, who then will be close to somebody else. We can change this world with the gospel of Christ if we carry out the mission Jesus gave us. Have you been changed? Have you begun that journey by submitting to the Lord? How do you do that? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly. The Bible said it in Mark 16:16. We didn't read that verse, but Jesus went on to say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And are you willing to turn away from your sins, repenting of them? Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then if you're willing to confess him before everyone, not just today, but every day of your life, and let it be known, I follow Jesus. He is my first allegiance. And then be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, then you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Keep on following him till the day you leave this earth. And if you are a follower, but you've not been following him as much as you have other people, it's time to say, Lord, I am so sorry. You are my Lord. I repent of whatever sins I've committed. I pray for their forgiveness. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. If we can help you, please come as we stand together and sing.
Seated, please. As we begin to focus on the sacrifice that Jesus paid, we will sing 335 in memory of the Savior's love, and then we will share the Lord's Supper together.
Thank you.
next Monday, we'll have a Memorial Day, a time set aside by our president many years ago that give our country time to reflect on the men and women that have sacrificed, gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country. It only comes around once a year. And a lot of times it's the unofficial start to summer. And I think it's lost its intention of what it was supposed to be. Today, we have a memorial feast, a memorial day that we celebrate every Sunday because of the importance of what it represents. As Tim's lesson was so on point, we do often forget about who we truly serve, not a party, not a person, but the Lord. So today, as we partake of these emblems, they're just emblems, but what they recognize or symbolize to us is very important, something that we should never take for granted, something that we should always truly remember, not worry about where we're going to eat this afternoon or what we're going to do when we get home, but truly focus on what these emblems represent. Let's pray for bread. Father in heaven, we are indeed grateful for this opportunity. We pray we never take for granted what this bread represents, your son's body upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we pray that each time we think about this sacrifice, we visualize the cross and the pain and agony he went through to help us get to heaven, to forgive us of our sins, to have this opportunity to glorify his name in this manner. As we partake of this feast, Lord, we just pray that we do this with our clear mind and heart, that we can truly focus on the sacrifice of your son. In his name we pray. Amen. And also on Memorial Day, it's a tradition of Poppy and I that we watch war movies. We have a time to reflect back. My grandfather did fight in World War II, and just think about the sacrifices they gave. You know, the men and women that didn't make it home, the bloodshed, that we never take that for granted. But the ultimate bloodshed was done on the cross of Calvary. And it's a time that, you know, we read about and we can only visualize what our Savior went through to shed his blood for us and our sins. There again, I hope we never, ever take that for granted. Let's pray. Father, now as we take this fruit of the vine, which represents your son's blood shed upon the cross, we pray that you take us back to the cross, the pain and agony he went through, the blood shed for our sins. We don't deserve it. Your grace is what saves us, and we are so grateful for that, and your son's death upon the cross. Lord, as we take this fruit of the vine, we do this in a manner well-pleasing, and forgiveness of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's pray for the offering. Father, we are a blessed people. We are a people that take for granted a lot of times the joys of life that we have. We know, Lord, that you have blessed us, and we pray that we give back to you what is rightfully yours. We pray these funds used by the elders will further your word, further the kingdom across this land. We're thankful for the ones that oversee this money, and we pray for them and their wisdom to spend this money wisely. Thank you for everything you do for us. Forgive us of our sins. Christ, we pray. Amen.
Would you bow with me again? Our Holy Father in heaven, our gracious Lord, we humbly thank you for your mercies this day And we recognize that you are the only true living God. We earnestly pray that you have found our worship to be honorable today and acceptable. Father, please forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. Help us to be more like you and strive to be more like you each day. You know our prayers, prayed for out loud and those in our quiet moments. Lord, just help us to have a greater and stronger faith. Thank you again for your Son and the sacrifice that was made for us. And in his name we pray, amen. There are several announcements today, quite a few actually. So we'll just get through them. Thank you for continuing to dispose of these as you exit the building. Our elders have noticed that there's a drop in the QR code or a checking in with your attendance. If you'll see about that, and also some pantry items, if you could bring some of those, there seems to be a little lacking in those two departments. Thank you for doing the QR code or checking in at the computers or bringing the pantry items. There's a baby shower that has been mentioned up here, along with other items that are mentioned in the bulletin, also in the Daily Focus and up on the screen before service started. Baby shower for Charlie French on Saturday, June 1st at 3 p.m. at 101 Harvey Lane, Johnson City. Charlie is registered at Target and Amazon. Please RSVP. The information will be coming out for that on the RSVP. It's in the bulletin. Also, it'll probably be in the announcements that are sent out today. Also, Brendan and Molly McCain are expecting a baby girl in June. They're registered at Target and would appreciate diapers and wipes. A late-breaking announcement from Adam Maurer. The fall quarter for elementary classes begins in 2 weeks on June 2nd. That would be a Sunday. The following classes are still available for your teachers. They need Sunday morning toddler, pre-K, which is age 4, kindergarten, age 5 and or 6. Wednesday evening, everything is available except for 5th and 6th grade. You know, we all teach somebody somewhere. We may not be professional teachers, but we all teach someone. Please take this opportunity to help out. Bible story time, we need someone for the 3rd Sunday evenings. Please sign up on the board in the hallway right outside, or see Adam Maurer with questions. Also, moving on up, our elementary students, pre-K through 6th grade, will be promoting the next grade at the beginning of the summer quarter on Sunday, June 2nd, as I've already mentioned. Adam and Christy Maurer will be in the elementary hallway to assist with this transition and answer any questions if needed. Central is proud of our 4 young people. These are in the bulletin today, and there's pictures now. There we go. All right, we are proud of our young people graduating from high school this year, Griffin Erickson, Lily Hutchison, Abby Jenkins, and Abby Laycock. Baskets can be found at the large visitor counter as you exit for your cards and gifts, and congratulations to these young people. Digging Deep Ladies Bible Discussion has been mentioned up here on the board as well. Rescheduled their downstairs meeting to Monday, June the 3rd. Let's remember these folks in prayer, along with what's mentioned in the Daily Focus and other places. Tina, the mother of Charlie French, had a pipe burst in her basement on Saturday evening and will lose a lot of her personal belongings. Prayers are requested, as she will have to let go of some of her things. Shannon Brown had a great appointment with the doctor this week. We're all aware of Shannon Brown and his health issues, but he has received a PSA level of 0.0. And if you're not familiar with that, that's really, really good. Praise the Lord. Also, a late-breaking notification, Peggy Seal, the mother of Ryan Seal, fell and broke both wrists. She will soon need to have surgery, and of course, we will need to pray for that. And last but not least, Paul Elliott has been proposed to the congregation to handle a new program for the elderly and special needs. We have received no negative comments. Everything has been positive, and so the 2-week period has ended, so I'd like to announce my nephew, Paul Elliott, as the newest deacon, and if Paul will stand up wherever he is. If you don't know who Paul is, right there sitting with his family and a lot of our other family members. So is there anything else that needs to be announced at this time? If not, have a great afternoon. Hope to see you here this evening.